Good morning and welcome to Grupo Vamos audio conference to discuss results relative to the second quarter 2021. Today with us, we have Mr. Gustavo Couto, the company's CEO, and Mr. Gustavo Moscatelli, the company's CFO and IRO. At this moment, all participants are connected in listen-only mode. Later, we'll start a Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during the audio conference, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. This audio conference is also being recorded and simultaneously translated into English. Before moving on, we'd like to state that forward-looking statements made during this audio conference concerning the company's business outlook, financial and operating targets and projections are based on beliefs and assumptions on the part of the company's management and also on information currently available for the company. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. General economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors might affect the future results of the company and thus lead to results that will differ considerably from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gustavo Couto. Please, Mr. Couto, over to you now. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for yet another audio conference to discuss results for Vamos. We are quite happy with the results for the second quarter 2021, when we could see a strong acceleration of our growth of our renting truck and equipment rental model, along with fleet managers across the country and across the different segments where we operate. We are even happier to see our business ecosystem, which is unique in Brazil, offering services and alternatives to our clients. And as a consequence, we saw a consistent evolution of our return to shareholders and investors. Our integrated work of our dealerships, used vehicle network, and has proven to be a quite an important differential for our company. Our companies have overcome all our targets and goals. I'd like to take the opportunity to acknowledge and thank all our employees for yet another incredible quarter. Given the investments made in the first half and the generation of new businesses, we can already have a clear view of results for the year 2021. We have reached a record mark of 100 million in net income for the second quarter, which represents three times as much that we saw in the same period of last year. I'd like to invite you to do this exercise of updating this result, in which we'll have 400 million in net income in 12 months, without considering the acceleration of the company's growth, which we have been delivering quarter after quarter. We have further accelerated our growth across the different business segments. We moved from the expansion from the local rental fleet. We increased investments in new rental contracts. We diversified our portfolio of clients. We have integrated our units of business. We have grown our net revenue, also our net income and our EBITDA, reinforcing our business model and this unique and integrated positioning of our dealerships, used vehicle network, and truck and machinery leasing. This growth opens up avenues which are even more exciting for the coming quarters and years as well. Now, moving on to slide number three, we closed the second quarter of 2021 with solid numbers across all operating indicators. In terms of rental, we entered into new contracts in the second quarter of 2021, a CapEx of 912 million, four times higher than the volume seen in the second quarter of last year. And in the first half numbers, we ended the year at 1.9 billion in CapEx, accounting for a growth of almost three times what we saw in the first half and 48% higher than the full year of 2020, if we were to analyze investments contracted for the first half, we would reach about 3.8 billion in CapEx in 2021, which accounts for a growth of approximately 3 times as compared to 2020. Our rented fleet reached over 18,000 assets, and the future contracted revenue, the backlog, moved significantly to 5.1 billion reais, an increase of 89.1% vis-a-vis June 2020. That, of course, ensures a robust growth for the coming years. A new simulation where we maintain in the second half the same pace of growth we had in the first half of this year, we would have a backlog balance of over 7 billion BRLs in December 2021, which would account for a growth of over 100% of the balance that we had in December 2020. We continue to advance and diversifying our client portfolio in different economic industries through a commercial team, which footprint across the country have entered something close to 300 new contracts just in the second quarter. And as we ended the half, we had already had over 1,000 contracts, which is more than double what we had 12 months ago. We have reached a net revenue of 665 million, twice as high as we had in the second quarter of last year, and close to 30% higher than the revenue we had in the first quarter of this year. Operating income, EBIT, reached 175 million in the second quarter, showing a healthy growth for our operating margins. The EBITDA reached the level of something close to 154 million BRLs in the second quarter, a growth of 66% when compared to last year across all business units. Moving on to slide number 4, we have important accomplishments by the company. On top of the strong organic growth, we also had in the second quarter the negotiation to acquire 436 electric forklifts linked to 39 long-term rental agreements from the BYD assembly, a multinational maker of electric forklifts. We also acquired 70% of the BNB company, a technological center to customize trucks and buses belonging to Volkswagen MAN, with operations in Brazil and in Mexico. We also acquired in this quarter the operations from Monarca dealerships with 4 outlets in the state of Mato Grosso, and the main axis being BR-163, an important corridor to flow the Brazilian grain production, one of the most promising agribusiness areas in Brazil. We closed the half with a cash position and investments of 342 million BRLs, enough to cover the amortization of our short-term debt and at least the pace of 4.3 times. On July 8th, 2021, we settled a debenture operation in the local market at the amount of 1 billion BRLs for the duration of 10 years to reinforce our liquidity position and support our growth, our strong growth pace. In June, the S&P rating agency elevated our credit rating to BR AA+, our local scale, which is based on the expressive gains in scales of our businesses and to the right funding profile, reinforcing our growth strategy with discipline on our capital structure. We continue to develop and implementing new systems and digital platforms to boost scalability of our business and also to strengthen our operating basis, and also increase the controls that we have. We will continue to focus development and intensive use of technology to sustain and speed up the growth of our businesses, providing agility in decision-making, better management, control, and safety across all other operations. Moving on and continue with our ESG strategy, we had important advances, but I'll comment on that after the presentation of our financial numbers down the presentation. This will be done by Gustavo Scatelli, our CFO. Over to you, Gustavo. Thank you, Gustavo Couto. Good morning, everyone. I'll start on slide number 5, please, with the main financial numbers for the year-to-date numbers. Our net revenue in the quarter reached 665 million reais, twice as much as we had in the second quarter of last year. Operating income, EBIT, also saw a strong advancement. We closed the quarter at 174 million, twice as much as we had in the second quarter of last year. An acceleration of the profitability across all businesses and capturing gains of scale and productivity as well. EBITDA also saw an evolution, reaching 253.8 million in the quarter, a growth of 62% when compared to the same period of 2020. Net income is the main highlight, where we reached the record mark of 100 million reais in the second quarter, which accounts for a growth of 2.5 times when compared to the net income of last year in the same quarter. Now we'll explain, we give a breakdown the different segments of the company, the group. Moving on to the next slide, we have our highlights in rentals. We reached 912 million in CapEx in the second quarter and new rental, long-term rental contracts, about four times as many as we had invested last year. It's worth mentioning that the growth pace increased in the past quarters. Only in the first half of this year, we have already hired 1.9 billion reais in CapEx, which accounts for more than 1.5 times the whole volume we had in last year. If we were to update the first half, we would reach about 3.8 billion reais, which would account for a growth of approximately three times the number we saw in 2020. With the speed up in growth, we closed the second quarter at 5.1 billion in backlog, an increase of 89% when compared to the backlog seen last year. In the simulation where we maintain the second half, the same growth pace of the same half will lead that balance to 7.1 billion in backlog in December 2021, which would account for a growth of about 2.3 times the balance of the same period of the previous year. Our customer portfolio in June accounts for 523 clients as opposed to 207 clients at the end of June 2020. We have entered 278 contracts only in the second quarter of this year, totaling 1,083 contracts at the end of June. This way, we have a strong diversification of clients and across different economy sectors to be able to capture new avenues of growth. As for our fleet, we closed the month of June with 18,325 assets, 15,000 of them trucks and 3,040 machinery pieces, in line with our strategy to mix assets, but with a focus on trucks. Moving on to slide number seven, we have financial results for rentals. The second quarter, we saw a growth in net revenue for services at 40.6% when compared to the second quarter of last year, proving the strong acceleration in our rental arm with long-term contracts. In addition, we've maintained our focus on value generation for our clients. We have signed contracts for maintenance services and having reached a net revenue with services of 65.3 million in the second quarter, a growth of 32.4% when compared to the second quarter of last year. The EBIT rental reached 124.9 million, a growth of 58.7% when compared to the second quarter of last year. And EBITDA reached 200.9 million, an increase of 40.5% when compared to the same quarter of last year. In terms of profitability, we saw a substantial growth because the company also gained in scale. Moving on to slide number eight, we have numbers for the sales of assets. In the second quarter, we sold 212 trucks and used trucks and machinery, 27.3 million in revenue and 34% with net margin compared to historic gross margin of 3%. The improvement in gross margin reflects an increase in prices that we saw in the market for used machinery, coming from an increase in prices for brand new machinery and trucks. It's important to mention that the company has an amount of 3.5 billion in its balance sheet of fixed assets which are being rented or leased to our clients, that will have a very important positive impact on the accounting value as they are sold. Once there has been a changing level for market prices for those assets. For this used assets, we closed the year at 36 million, closed the half of the year, a drop of 59% when compared to 87 million that we had in the second quarter of last year, which accounts for less than 3 months of sales, the lowest inventory level for the past years. Moving on to slide number nine, we'll be talking about dealerships. the second quarter of 2021 saw excellent performance for all our dealerships. We closed the half with a total of 39 dealers for high-quality products, offering our clients all our service portfolio in an integrated manner, such as rental and sale of trucks, machinery, and new and used equipment. In the second quarter, we completed the acquisitions of the Monarca company, dealerships Valtra and dealership French, both located in the Midwest of Brazil, the best region for agribusinesses in Brazil. Net revenue for dealerships reached the level, record level of 412 million reais in the quarter, a growth of 3 times when compared to the same period of last year. The EBIT for leadership reached 49.6 million, a growth of 7.3 times what we saw in the same period of last year, given the significant increase in the amount of sales from truck dealers and also agricultural machinery, and already including the contributions which have been announced. EBITDA for dealerships reached 52.9 million in the second quarter of 2021, an increase of 5.4 times when compared to the same period of last year. Moving on to slide number 10, I'll be talking about our capital structure. We closed the second quarter with a cash position and investments at 342 million reais. And on July 8th, we settled a debentures operation in the local market at the amount of 1 billion BRLs with a duration of 10 years to reinforce our liquidity position and sustain the company's growth. With that, our pro forma cash on June 30th would be of 1.3 billion reais as we closed the first half. Debt has an average duration of 4.4 years and an average cost of 4.1% in June 2021. It's worth mentioning that 100% of our exposure is hedged for the CDI fluctuation. We have contracted an average cap of 7.1% in our cash exposure for projects. Our net debt closed at 1.9 billion, a leverage level of 2.4 times net debt EBITDA, maintaining the company with the balance sheet, which is quite robust to sustain our growth. On slide number 11, we have our profitability indicators. We are quite focused on speeding up growth and also generating value. And we can see the significant advancement in our profitability indicators. ROIC for the second quarter reached 14.9% and ROE reached 27%, a strong expansion of profitability when compared to previous periods, even as we accelerate our growth and even with expressive CAPEX volumes. I now give it back over to Gustavo Couto for his final remarks. Over to you, Gustavo. Thank you, Moscatelli. Now, moving on to slide 12, it's important to talk about our priorities for 2021. We have committed to continue to speed up our growth through sales channels, the scalability with intensive use of technology, and in our efforts to expand our business model. On top of that, across the environmental, social, and governance dimensions, we have also chosen priorities which are translated into projects which have objectives, targets, and deadlines quite well defined. The group has advanced along important initiatives in the first half of the year. As with the neutralization of all its carbon emissions for the scopes 1 and 2, and also have also implemented new products like Zero Carbon Project, which allows our clients to revisit their emissions, aiming at contributing directly with the decrease of emissions for Scope 3 and contributing to a low carbon economy. In addition, the company has signed a contract to install and execute projects for solar panels in 18 of our dealers. We have included recycling for residues and waste across all our units. In May 2021, the Vamos announced its first integrated report within the GRI reports, which was audited by KPMG. That practice will move on and will be done yearly because the idea is to provide more transparency with clients, investors, and society as a whole. I close with the slide, and I'd like to thank you all for being here, participating in our call, and you'll remain available for questions or comments that you may have. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. If you have a question, please press star one. To remove your question from the list, please press star two. Our next question comes from Fernanda Reca from BTG Pactual. Over to you, Fernanda. I'd like to talk about how negotiations are going with car makers as you plan to expand your fleet. I'd like to understand if you have already contracted the fleet for next year or if you are still in negotiations, and also the discount levels. We saw a growth in your fleet, but when we look on quarter, CapEx actually dropped, right? Because you had better discounts than you had in the first quarter. I'd like to understand that. Should we continue to see that moving forward? And also, the mix, the yellow line and trucks mix, you made some interesting acquisitions along the yellow line. I'd like to understand if we should expect a larger share of the yellow line in your portfolio going forward. And lastly, I'd like to understand how your commercial team is right now. That's something you commented on your Simpar Day. I'd like to understand where you stand in terms of the commercial team. Do you see an increase on your team? Thank you. Fernanda, thank you for your question. This is Gustavo Couto here. As for the car makers or truck makers, we continue to negotiate with them. We are planning our purchases for the next years. We already have contracted enough to meet our needs for 2022. Of course, there are always adjustments to be made, but we have effectively addressed demand quite well, not only for 2021, but also for 2022 as well. As for commercial terms, that's something we cannot really disclose fully, but we are working hard with makers. And as a consequence, our conditions to pay are different, right? When we buy equipment, they're differentiated, if I may. As for yellow line, when you talk yellow line, you also mention green line, right? We have over 3,000 leased pieces of machinery. We are the largest machinery leaser in Brazil. And we have been diversifying our portfolio. So it is very likely that we'll see an increase, not only along the yellow line, but also along the green line. Our agribusinesses teams are well integrated with dealerships. That includes Monarca, which we have just acquired, and also our rental teams. We are working quite close to each other, and it is very likely that you'll see a growth in the machinery line, as it has happened for trucks. The commercial team is going to expand further. We already have a very good footprint across the country, but we are hiring more people. We are training more people. But in addition to that, we are also working hard to invest in digital marketing, where we've seen a growing number of commercial leads getting to us through digital channels, and also the indirect sales channel. That's a different door we have to explore. It's quite advanced. The platform is already up and running. We already see the first results coming in. They are not representative, important results, given the strong growth we've seen, but it is a bet for the future. And I do believe we have very good news across that front when we have all those tools at a more mature level. I hope I have addressed your questions. If you have any other doubt or question, please let us know. Thank you, Couto. Thank you for the answers. Enough for me. Thank you. Our next question comes from Pedro Bruno, XP Investimento. Go on, Pedro. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. If you could perhaps explore and try helping us understand the yield model, revenue per asset. It grew 13% year on year. But if you could break that number down across the different drivers for that expansion, if you could give us some more color about the perspectives moving forward, and as a consequence, the impact of all of that on the ROIC. Do you I think the marginal ROIC that you've filed now, which is a growing number, already gives us a good hint. Of course, we see a positive sign there. But when we think about the amount of contracts that include maintenance, which was something we were looking for to increase for trucks, do you think about doing the same with machinery, increase maintenance contracts there as well? So if you could help us understand that, please. Pedro, thank you for your question. I'll start by addressing the contracts for maintenance, and then I'll give it over to Gustavo Boscatelli, and he'll address the remainder of your questions. So we continue to have a growth trend in contracts, including maintenance. The growth reached the level of 42%, and we have about 30% of our contracts today, including maintenance services. Total. That is a good bet that we have placed in terms of increasing profitability and also to increase the loyalty of our clients. We have already also mentioned that we have increased our work with the agribusiness. Those contracts do not include maintenance. That's why we have not expanded even further that portfolio, including maintenance. But we have assets which are being leased at a very, very interesting, promising segment, agri-industry, and we'll continue to invest on that. And as a consequence, we'll have an improvement in return. I'll now give it over to Gustavo Boscatelli for him to comment on the other points. Pedro, as for yield, we see a slight improvement in the second half. In relation to the previous period, two main drivers are the gain in scale and the benefits that gains of scale have been bringing to us, along with a higher commercial intelligence in closing contracts. And also, as you mentioned, the interest curve you mentioned. We have been analyzing all our projects. We try to understand and include our interest rates to all of those businesses. The ROIC that you mentioned, it's what we have in terms of visibility for the end of the year. That's the growth trend that we see. And I think I have addressed what you have asked, correct? If you have any other questions, please feel free to let me know. No, thank you. Thank you. Our next question comes from Victor Mizusaki from Bradesco BBI. You can move on. Good morning. Congratulations on your results. I have two questions. The first one, as you mentioned in the presentation, the Vamos has increased its debt profile to 10 years. I'd like to understand how you see the leverage level of the company right now, given the scenario. We're talking from the asset side. Can you expect the company to work with a slightly higher leverage level? And also, the acquisition of the electric forklift fleet. I'd like to understand how you see that issue of electrifying heavy-duty vehicles. How do you plan on moving forward with that? And how does that impact the company? Can we expect contracts to be longer in that respect? Thank you. Victor, this is Moscatelli. I'll be talking about the capital structure part, and I'll give it over to Couto for him to comment on asset diversification. We have access the market just now with R$1 billion with a duration of 10 years. We have also signed a standby line of $480 million with first line banks. And we can use that up to 3 years. And then we have 4 years ahead. So in terms of liquidity and capital structure, we are quite comfortable. And the company's growth pace has driven the leverage up, as you've seen, 0.6 times, right, in growth, net debt EBITDA. So we see healthy level of leveraging around 3 times. That's what we're planning, 3 times. But once again, the covenant, it sits at 3.75. So we still have a bit of a buffer, if you will, between 3 and 3.75 if we continue the same growth pace. I'll give it over to Gustavo Couto now for him to address the assets issue. Victor, thank you for your question. We have a very diversified portfolio. 70% are trucks. We have always liked to work with machines, the green line and the yellow line. And when you compare the same period this year, the first half of 2021 with the first half of 2020, we saw a growth in forklifts. And of course, there is a strategy in place for us to work with electric forklifts, especially electric forklifts, because that is, as you said, a trend. And they also have a longer life. Those batteries last 7-8 years. So that investment can be diluted along a longer period. And the clients, of course, also enter into longer period contracts. We'll follow up on the changes of technology that we see. We have a very new fleet, and that sets us apart, of course. Even for our diesel-run truck, it is a relatively new, modern. They're all 3 years old at the most. So if we see more modern engines coming up or less polluting engines, we'll continue to monitor that. And of course, the use of renewable energy sources will also be looked into. The BYD is one of those examples. There will be others as technology and makers and engine manufacturers advance. And of course, that is a position, a vanguard position we will take on as we are the largest leasers in the country. As those technologies become more viable for the client, of course, they are paying for it. When they become viable for them, we'll be keeping up with that growth, that advancement. Thank you. Our next question from Thais Capello, Itaú BBA. You can carry on, Thais. Good morning, everyone. Congratulations on the results. I have two questions. Number one, about the contracted CapEx. You have talked about it with new contracts coming in. I'd like to understand what segments are taking the lead. Couto did mention grains, agriculture, but I'd like to have some more color on that, please, if I may. And also, what would be the timing for that CapEx in line with the first question asked by Fernanda, if we could see those contracts materializing in the second half of or next year. And then the second question about the increase in new assets prices. Can you give us some more color on the evolution of depreciation per asset and the expectations you have going forward? Thank you. Hi, Thais. Thank you for your questions. I'll address the first one, and then Moscatelli will address the second one. As for the contracted CapEx, we continue to have a growing fleet in trucks and implements. 82% of investments were steered towards trucks and implements to serve different segments of the economy. When we step back, we're talking about the logistics sector, the main sector in the period. The logistics sector includes agribusinesses, grains, and others. other sectors, which are also covered by logistics. It's a very diversified segment, logistics. After that, we have the sugar industry with 17%, sugarcane industry. And then we have a very interesting sector, which seems to be also promising, engineering and construction at 6%, followed by direct agribusiness with machines, and then food, the food sector. So those are the sectors that have been growing the most. And we can expect, Thais, to see as you receive assets, which were acquired in 2020, early 2021, we have a schedule to receive those assets throughout the period. And so we're going to be receiving several assets in the second half of 2021. So as a consequence, what you saw as being sold, 1.9 billion, you can be sure that will be implemented now in 2021 in the second half. Now over to Moscatelli for the second questions. Thank you for your question, Thais. As you know, we saw a significant growth in the prices of trucks and new machinery, and that, of course, reflected on the prices for used assets. We have been adjusting depreciation, especially for trucks, quarter after quarter, but also being very conservative. So for the past three quarters, we saw reductions in the depreciation rates for trucks. As you know, also, we were depreciating at 10% a year. That was the rate. Now we're talking about 8% depreciation rate a year for trucks. But still, margins continue strong. We'll continue to follow that strategy of reviewing that every quarter, every 6 months. And as we have more visibility, we can make those isolated adjustments as we have been doing. Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Once again, to ask a question, press star one, please. Once again, for questions, please press star one. Our next question will come via web from Rodrigo Faria from SulAmerica. Good morning, Couto and Moscatelli. Congratulations on the great results. Do you expect this strong volume of new contracts over 900 million per quarter is sustainable, or will it even accelerate in the coming quarters? What's the current lead time for makers? And when should we start to see results in the financial results for those new contracts in the second half of 2021, please? Thank you. Rodrigo, thank you for your questions. I'll address both of them. As for our strong volume of contracts, 900 million, I believe we are a company that can say we are a company of 1 billion of capex per year, per quarter. We have been maturing our sales channels, so we can expect a growth in new contracts for the coming quarters, no doubt, at a level slightly higher than what we've seen in the first half of the year. You can believe that, no doubt. And as for the lead time for makers, automakers, there is a combination of factors. With the schedule that we have for the acquisition of those assets, the schedule is being met. I have to acknowledge the effort by the makers in supplying us in time in a very difficult moment. But we can already see a growth in manufacturing when compared to the same period of last year. And they expect to grow even more in 2021 when compared to 2020. So that has allowed us, those of us who purchased in advance, allowed us to receive those assets with a 90% accuracy. So that, of course, ensures a good service level to our clients. And you can be sure, as I just told Thais, that we will be implementing those assets, which have been contracted in the first half. Most of that has been implemented in the first half, and the remainder will be implemented in the second half of this year. Our average lead time is slightly below 90 days between signing the contracts and the delivery to clients. 90 days, slightly above last year's deadline, but given the situation, it's quite positive. A lot of hard work, working with our suppliers and makers of machinery, have been able to service our clients at quite reduced lead times, below 90 days. Rodrigo, I remain available for the questions you may have. Thank you. Our next question comes from Daniele Nicoli Lopez from Research. The costs and the dealerships were driven by an initial growth of recent acquisitions. What is the cost level expected for the coming quarters? Hi, Daniele. This is Gustavo Moscatelli speaking. Thank you for your question. As for our cost lines, when you saw about the dealership financial statements, it reflects sales when you compare this year with last year. We almost tripled revenue for dealerships when you compare this year with last year. And that, of course, brings about an increase in costs. And that's the amount which was paid for the assets sold. There's no impact from the dealerships we acquired in this quarter. That has no impact on the numbers we have just announced. All numbers in cost line comes from revenues from dealerships. As you saw, the relationship between cost revenue really improved. We have improved the company's EBITDA or dealership EBITDA's margin close to 5% last year, this year 12%. So revenue advanced further than the cost line. If you have any other question, please let us know. Our next question comes from Marcos Carneiro, Companhia Pax Investimentos. The cost of debt at 4.1%. Is it the spread plus CDI? Do you have a swap for pre-payment? Marcos, this is Moscatelli speaking. Thank you for your question. That cost of 4.1% is net of taxes. It is CDI plus spread that we have been using today and does not include the swap cost. The cap, actually, that we hired to hedge the debt. The cost of that operation is about 0.15 a year. So you can add to your models, to your accounts, 0.15 on top of the 4.1. Thank you. I remain available for other comments you may have. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. To ask a question, press star 1. Please stand by as we poll for questions. Our next question comes from Pedro Bruno, XP Investimentos. Thank you. Just a follow-up on the previous question. I'd like to understand your perspective going forward in terms of margins. Can we expect those margins to continue to be positively impacted as acquisitions kick in and the new dealerships kick in? And so those higher added value assets might have higher margins. So is it reasonable to expect that level, 12%, I think? 12.8% last quarter, if I'm not mistaken. Can we expect margins higher than 13% going forward? Thank you. Hi, Pedro. This is Couto speaking. It's important to say that dealerships' performances is results from work being done throughout several years. because especially because of agribusinesses, a quite promising area, using premium machinery, a very premium portfolio, which have different prices and different margins. So we can expect good returns coming from that arm, and also business which have just started operating. So we do have a very positive expectation in terms of good results, including margins that can go up because that market is quite active now. The soybean production in Brazil is forward sold to Chinese for the next year. So, of course, they'll have to expand their area, and we are quite located with after-sales teams, commercial teams in place to service those expansion areas. And we have managed to service them. So we do have a very positive expectation for that. The same goes for trucks. Volkswagen, we have dealerships. Volkswagen, they do have a line of products for heavy-duty assets and new products being launched, which have been complementing our portfolio. And we have managed to grow more than the market in the truck, light and heavy-duty truck market. So again, a very positive expectation for this new line coming from Volkswagen. And of course, we have been working hard on it. So for dealership, Pedro, we have a very positive expectations, just as we have with leasing. Thank you. Thank you. This concludes our Q&A session. I turn the conference over to Mr. Gustavo Couto for his final remarks. Please, Mr. Couto, over to you now. Well, three quick points I'd like to highlight. Once again, thank the Vamos team for the results we have been delivering. We define targets, and the team always exceeds those targets. We're very excited with that, with the team's performance. So once again, my acknowledgement and my big thank you to everyone. Number two, as I mentioned in my last slide, we'll increase our focus on ESG. We're going to be updating our fleet. That's very important for the country in terms of productivity, efficiency, cost, improvement in safety in the highways as well. Number three, we also be working hard. That's our main priorities, working hard in positioning our ecosystem, which involves rental dealerships for new and used machinery and trucks. We have a very special position. There's nobody else in Brazil with that unique positioning across those three dimensions, which are complementary and which generate lots of synergies for our businesses. It's common for you to see somebody from our commercial team, from agribusiness in the Midwestern area of Brazil, referring rental businesses for their trucks team. And the same thing goes for the Yellow Line products. That synergy, that unique positioning in our differentiated ecosystem, that will be our focus moving forward because it has been bringing very strong results. We're quite satisfied with what we've done, but we are confident that this is just the beginning. We can do a lot more. Once again, thank you all for participating in our call, for following up on our company, for believing in our work, and for relying on us. We can hope to continue to deserve your trust. Thank you all. Have a nice day, everyone. Vamos audio conference is now over. We'd like to thank you all for participating and have a nice day.